The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the second chapter. The child Jesus grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up according to custom. And when the feast was ended, as they were returning, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. His parents did not know it, but supposing him to be in the group, they went a day's journey. But then they began to search for him among their relatives and acquaintances. And when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem searching for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. And when his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us so? Behold, your father and I have been searching for you in great distress." And he said to them, "Why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" And they did not understand the saying that he spoke to them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was submissive to them. And his mother treasured up all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. This is the gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. In introducing his gospel, Luke writes, "Inasmuch as many have undertaken to compile a narrative of the things that have been accomplished among us, just as those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word have delivered them to us, it seemed good to me also, having investigated all things closely for some time past, to write an orderly account for you, O most excellent Theophilus, that you may have certainty concerning the things you have been taught. It has long been assumed that one of the eyewitnesses with whom Luke consulted in writing his orderly account must have been Mary, the mother of our Lord. While this tradition can't be confirmed with certainty, Mary would have been the very best source for numerous details Luke recorded in his gospel. In his account of Christmas, after reporting on the shepherds making known the saying that had been told them concerning the infant Jesus, Luke says that Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. The same sort of note appears in our text this morning. After reporting on what happened when Jesus was 12 and the Holy Family attended the Passover in Jerusalem, Luke says Mary treasured up all these things in her heart. One of the reasons she treasured them up in her heart was because she wasn't able to fully understand them at the time. When the angel told her that she would conceive in her womb by the power of the Holy Spirit, when Elizabeth blessed her as the mother of my Lord, when the shepherds testified that the angel had described her son as a Savior, who is Christ, the Lord, when Simeon said on seeing the infant that he had seen God's salvation, when Jesus said to her and to Joseph, "Why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in that which is my father's?" All these things were too marvelous, too fantastic, too extraordinary to fully grasp. They were all wrapped up in the unfolding mystery of the incarnation and of salvation in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. But what Mary could not yet fully understand, she could treasure in her heart and ponder. As time went on, as her son accomplished the salvation God had promised, her pondering would give way to greater understanding and would confirm and strengthen her faith in her son as Savior and Christ, the Lord now sharing in our human nature. As you know, the scriptures record almost nothing about Jesus between his birth and his baptism when he was about 30 years old. Last week we heard about his circumcision on the eighth day and his presentation in the temple when he was just under 6 weeks old. Matthew tells briefly of the family fleeing to Egypt and then of their returning to Palestine and settling again in Nazareth. And then there's our text, the only word about Jesus before his baptism, other than those things we heard about earlier. One of the things Luke is careful to note before telling of the Passover in Jerusalem is that Jesus grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. Then at the close of this morning's reading, he says, Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. We would not be mistaken to recognize in these statements an anticipation of the Father's proclamation from heaven, "You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased." God's favor rested on his incarnate son throughout his life. But there's something else here as well. Luke wants us to know that Jesus was a real, honest-to-goodness human being. True, he was conceived by the Holy Spirit in the womb of the Virgin. But nothing in the Gospels intimates that he was born any differently than you or I were. He grew up. His stature and strength and wisdom increased. He is true God. The scriptures leave no doubt about that. But he is also really and truly a man, a human being, like us in his humanity, with only a single exception, that he is without sin. By the brief vignettes from Jesus' infancy and youth, Luke helps us see the full humanity of Jesus, helps us see that his perfect obedience for us and overcoming of temptation date from his earliest childhood. Luke records that Mary and Joseph, as pious Jews, went to Jerusalem each year to celebrate the Passover. It seems reasonable to believe that taking Jesus with them was part of their custom each year. We aren't told anything about those earlier visits to the Passover, but something noteworthy occurred when Jesus was 12 years old, something that Mary treasured in her heart. It was after the Passover, when Mary and Joseph started back to Galilee with a group that included relatives and acquaintances. Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. Imagine the panic that must have set in when, after a full day's journey, they determined that Jesus wasn't with their group. They couldn't understand it. He'd never been any trouble before. Had never been anything but an obedient and trustworthy son. This simply wasn't like him. They couldn't help but imagine that something terrible had happened. that Jesus had met with some sort of trouble or accident. It had to have been with the greatest concern and not a little fear that Mary and Joseph retraced their steps to Jerusalem. Where could Jesus be? They searched and searched, and then after 3 days, found him in the temple. And of all things, he was sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Luke says that when his parents saw him, they were astonished. Had they had any inkling that Jesus would be in the temple talking with the teachers, they wouldn't have spent those long days searching elsewhere. Surely they were relieved to find him safe and well. But Mary couldn't help but ask, "Son, why have you treated us so? Behold, your father and I have been searching for you in great distress." How do you answer a question like that? Mary probably expected a sincere and heartfelt, "Oh, Mother, I'm so sorry." But that isn't at all what she heard. Jesus said to them, "Why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in that which is my Father's?" Luke tells us that they did not understand the saying that he spoke to them. That's really not too surprising, is it? Mary had said, "Your father and I." Her son responded, speaking of my father, and he wasn't talking about Joseph. Clearly, Jesus meant the Lord God, and he expected that they would understand. They had the information they needed. They knew Jesus had been conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit. The angel had said that he would be the Son of the Most High. But they didn't understand yet how everything they had been told fit together. There was a divine necessity behind what Jesus did. He must be in that which was his Father's. At that moment, it involved teaching. The understanding that he revealed in his questions and answers instructed the teachers in the temple concerning the Lord's word. But there was an even greater necessity for his presence in Jerusalem and at the temple. For he was the Lamb of God, the sacrifice God had appointed to take away the sin of the world. As the blood of the Passover lamb, smeared on the doorposts and on the lintel, had kept the angel of death from entering the homes of the children of Israel in Egypt, so Jesus' blood, smeared on the vertical and horizontal beams of the cross, would cause the angel of death to pass over the homes of all who trust in his blood and righteousness. Jesus is no less than your Passover lamb, by whose blood you will finally enter the heavenly promised land. In Jesus' response to his mother, we have his first teaching about his purpose and mission on earth. His preaching and teaching miracles would take him throughout Galilee and Judea, but his work would culminate back in Jerusalem. For it cannot be that a prophet should perish away from Jerusalem. Even more than that, Jesus is the new temple, the Holy of Holies. For in him the whole fullness of the deity dwells bodily. His body is the temple that would be destroyed, And just as Mary and Joseph had searched for 3 days to find him, so also on the third day, Jesus' body would be raised up again. Luke tells us that after this lesson in the temple, Jesus went down with Mary and Joseph and came to Nazareth and was submissive to them. And he increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. His time had not yet come, but it would. And it has. By his cross, Jesus won for you forgiveness, accomplished your salvation. In just a few moments, we will join again in proclaiming his death in our place and for our benefit. By his body, which he gives you to eat in the supper, you are joined with him in his death, so that death and hell no longer have any hold over you. By his blood, which he gives you to drink, you receive his life, which will endure throughout all eternity. After that lesson in the temple, Mary treasured up all these things in her heart. God grant that also each one of us would treasure up these things in our hearts and ponder on them. For great indeed is the mystery of godliness. Jesus was manifested in the flesh, vindicated by the Spirit, seen by angels, proclaimed among the nations, believed on in the world, taken up in glory. And he will come again to take all of those who trust in him, who depend on his perfect righteousness for them, to the place he has prepared. The Lord, according to his grace and mercy, make you ready for that day. In Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord, to life everlasting.